Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study coming from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And it is just so good as we continue to study in the book of Joshua. And we are studying now. This is lesson 5 of Joshua. And this will include chapters 13 through chapter 17. If you noticed, as we've studied so far, there's usually several chapters included in a lesson, because those chapters briefly give the instructions, that the things that are going on at this time in the life of Joshua and the people of Israel. Let us start our study today in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to come before your throne, Father, to learn of you. And we ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct us, Father, that we may know you more, that we may learn of your precepts, your words, your commandments, your statutes, Father. And we ask that you teach us and guide us to be able to live out your word. We give you all the praise and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, let's start by reviewing and looking at the main segments of what we have previously studied in Joshua chapter 1 through 12. Look at the first segment is Joshua chapter 1 through 5. And we learned about Joshua and Israel's preparation to take the land as they crossed over the Jordan. And then in the next segment, which is chapter 6 through 12 of Joshua, we learned of the battles that the Israelites went through to conquer the land. And now we're looking today at another segment, which is chapters 13 through 17. And if you have underlined and looked through these chapters and marked the key words, you found that the theme of these chapters were given to you. So, what then did you learn that these chapters are about? We learned that Joshua, at this time, in these chapters, 13 through 17, apportioned the land as inheritance to the tribes of Israel, just as it had been promised in the past by God. So, let's start by looking at Joshua chapter 13. And in this chapter, we see that the theme that it's all about here is inheritance to 2.5 tribes east of Jordan. And going through, since there's so many chapters, I may not read all the verses. I will just pick up and discuss these verses as we go through, maybe not reading all of them. But we will start reading in the 13th chapter of Joshua, the first 7 verses. And then I will briefly cover what these verses are talking about. In verse 1, now Joshua was old and advanced in years when the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains to be possessed. This is the land that remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Gezerites, from the Shinar, which is east of Egypt, even as far as the border of Ekron to the north, and it is counted as Canaanite, the five lords of the Philistines, the Gezites, the Ashdodite, the Ashkelonite, the Gittite, the Ekronite, and Avite, to the south and to the land of Canaanite, and Merah, that belongs to the Sidonians, as far as Aphek, to the border of the Amorite, and the land of the Gebalite, and all the Lebanon, toward the east from Baal-Gad, below Mount Hermon, as far as Lebo Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon, as far as Mishrath-Maim, all the Sidonians. I will drive them out from before the sons of Israel, only allot it to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. And therefore apportion this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. Okay, now what are these verses saying? First we see that it tells us that Joshua was old. He was advanced in years as the Lord spoke to him. And much of the land was still possessed, although the major cities had been defeated and destroyed by Israel. And verses 1 through 6 describes the land that was left for Israel to possess. But Joshua was too old to do it. So in verse 7, we see that it was apportioned or divided to the 9.5 tribes as an inheritance. So at this point, some of the land was not taken from the Canaanites living there and still needed to be possessed by the tribes which inherited it. So now we're going further and we're looking at what is taking place in verses 8 through 31. And as we go through this, you notice it gives the names of the tribes, it gives the names of the ones they are defeating, and it gives the names of the parts of the country. So I'm not going to read all of these verses, the next verses, but I will describe what the verses say in 8 through 14, verses 8 through 14. We're looking at verse 15 through 23. And here we see that this is the land on the east side of the Jordan. And this is Reuben's inheritance. And then as we read further, verses 24 through 28, we see that this was Gad's inheritance. And then going to verse 29 through 31, this was half of Manasseh's inheritance. So as we look at this entire chapter of verses 32, then going forward to 32 through 33, how do we see that the chapter ends? And it tells us in these verses, and I'm going to read these quickly. In verse 32, it says, "These are the territories which Moses apportioned for an inheritance in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan at Jericho to the east. But the tribe of Levi, Moses, did not give an inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance as he promised them." So we know that God had promised the inheritance of this portion to the Levites, And as we look at these last verses in this chapter, and I'm having a hard time getting my papers separated here to read these verses, but looking at this ending of this chapter, there are some cross-references that we see in Deuteronomy. And you just write these verses down. Those that have workbooks, they were to look these up. But those that are online that don't have a workbook, jot down Deuteronomy 18, 1 through 8. The Levites were to have no land because they could eat from the offerings brought to the Lord by the people. And they were the ones chosen by the Lord to serve Him. And also, we see in Deuteronomy 17, verse 8 through 13, the priests were part of the Levites, and they were to make judgments, and especially to teach the law, the word of the Lord, to the people. And then we look at Malachi also as a cross-reference. Malachi 2, verses 4 through 7, the Lord made a covenant with Levi because he reverenced or feared the Lord and stood in awe of his name. So again, the responsibility of the priest is stated here. It's there to preserve or to guard, and to give knowledge and to give instruction as messengers of the Lord. So this was what was given or allotted to these priests. That was their portion. And so now let's go a little bit further as we look at Joshua chapter 14. And so what did you find was the theme of chapter 14? This entire chapter is about the inheritance to Caleb. So that would be our theme there. So looking now at verses 1 through 5 of chapter 14. Now these are the territories which the sons of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the household of the tribes of the sons of Israel apportioned to them for an inheritance by the lot of their inheritance as the Lord commanded through Moses for the nine tribes and the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half tribe beyond the Jordan, but he did not give an inheritance to the Levites among them, for the sons of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they did not give a portion to the Levites in the land except cities to live in, with their pasture lands for their livestock and for their property. Thus the sons of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they divided the land. So we see here how that this territory is given. This is an overview, more or less, of the inheritance of all the tribes. So Joshua, Eleazar, the priest, and the tribe heads apportioned the inheritance. So it was done by lot, as the Lord commanded Moses to do, and for the two and a half tribes on the east side of the Jordan. So both of Joseph's sons, we see here, Ephraim and Manasseh, they received inheritance of land as part of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, going further, we're looking at verses 6 through 15. So I'm going to quickly read these verses. This is chapter 14, verse 6. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as was in my heart." Now, this is Caleb speaking. He's saying he was 40 years old, and he was sent out as a spy by Moses. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your feet has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. So here we see that it was done just as the Lord had said, that he had swore to give to Caleb. So Caleb was one of the tribes of Judah. And so he reminded Joshua of what Moses had said about his inheritance. And reading on verse 15, "Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day of Moses that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim was there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day. Why did he do that? Because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. So now the name of Hebron, which was Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and then the land had rest from war. So here we see in this chapter that Caleb was given the inheritance that had been promised to him by Moses whenever he had went in to spy the land and came back, and he had the faith in the Lord God that they could take the land. Now, let's go on into Joshua chapter 15. And we're going to look at this chapter and looking now at what the theme is, we're seeing that the inheritance continues. So the theme of chapter 15 is inheritance allotment to Judah. So here, let's just read some of these verses, looking at verse 1 through 12. We're seeing here what is described. Now, all of these places and names are very hard to pronounce. Some people pronounce better than others. I am not capable of pronouncing very well, but I just pronounce the best that I can. So bear with me as I read and try to pronounce these words. Starting with verse 1 of 15, "Now the lot of the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to their families, reached the border of Edom southwest to the wilderness of Zin at the extreme south. This south border was from the lower end of the Salt Sea, or the Dead Sea, from the bay that turns to the south. And then it proceeded southward to the ascent of Akraba and continued to Zin, and then went up to the south of Kadesh Barnea and continued to Hezron and went to Adar and turned about to Karka. It continued to Asmon and proceeded to the brook of Egypt, and the border ended at the sea. This shall be your south border. Then the east border. Now this, keep in mind, is to the tribes of the sons of Judah. The east border was the Salt Sea as far as the mouth of the Jordan, and the border of the north side was the bay of the south of Jordan. And then the border went up to Beth Hogla and continued on the north to Beth Araba, and the border went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. And then the border went to Deborah for the valley of Achor and turned northward toward Gilgal, which is the opposite, the ascent of Adummim, which is on the south of the valley, and the border continued to the waters of En-Shemesh and ended at En-Rogel. And then we see that it continues on and gives all the borders of the land. So I'm not going to continue to read. You should have read those in your lesson. But we're looking at all the borders. They're pointing out here in the word the exact location of the inheritance of the land. So going forward, we see that the land was apportioned as the inheritance or allotment for the tribe of Judah. And throughout these verses, what do we see, or who and what are they about? They're not only did Caleb take the hill country of his possession, but he also drove out three of the sons of Anak. These were giants living in the land. And he knew that the Lord would be with him if he was doing what he had been commanded to do. Caleb was already familiar enough with what the Lord could do. And he knew that from what had already been done by the Lord, that he would, if he put his trust in him, that he would continue to help him throughout all of this to take the land that was allotted to him. And in verses 20 through 53, we see all the cities that were there. They were Jebusites that was living in Jerusalem, because Judah didn't drive them out. That's what, look at verse 63, tells us that these Jebusites were living there. But it says, now as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the sons of Judah could not drive them out. So the Jebusites live with the sons of Judah at Jerusalem until this day. Now let's go forward into chapter 16. Now what did you find was the theme of chapter 16? Again, this is about the inheritance and the allotment. So the theme of this chapter is inheritance, allotment to Ephraim. So again, we see where all the land is divided, and it gives also here the borders. And I'm not going to read all of these borders because it involves a lot of time, and it's not really necessary right now, but you should have read this when you studied, that you should have read as you read each chapter. but looking at a overview of this particular chapter 16, we find that Ephraim did not completely drive out the Canaanites. Here we look at verse 10. It says, "But they did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites live in the midst of Ephraim to this day, and they became forced laborers." So that is what happened when they didn't drive them all out. They made them become slaves or laborers to them. And so that's kind of what we see here. And in Genesis, if you go back to the cross reference of Genesis chapter 48, verse 17 through 20, we see there that Ephraim was Joseph's youngest son, who his father had blessed above his firstborn Manasseh, and his descendants were to become a multitude. So here we see in when they go in to take the land, that Ephraim and Manasseh were also being part of Joseph's family, given inheritance here to the land. Okay, let's go forward now into chapter 17. And what did we see was the theme of chapter 17? Again, it's about the inheritance. And the theme is inheritance allotment to Manasseh. So we have seen the inheritance to Caleb. We have seen the inheritance to Ephraim. We've seen now we're looking at the inheritance or the allotment given to Manasseh. And of course, again, we see how that all of this is given, and it shows all the different borders. But I will start with a verse in chapter 17, and I will read these first verses 1 through 6. "Now this was a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, were allowed Gilead and Bashan, because he was a man of war. So the lot was made for the rest of the sons of Manasseh, according to their families, for the sons of Abizar and the sons of Helek, and for the sons of Asriel, and the sons of Sheshem, and for the sons of Hepher, and for the sons of Shemaida. These were the male descendants of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, according to their families." Now it goes on to tell the other families in verse 3, and we're seeing there that the son of Manasseh had no sons, but he only had daughters. And these are the names of the daughters: Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And this is verse 3. "So they came near before Eleazar the priest and before Joshua the son of Nun." This is verse 4. "And before the leader, saying, 'The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers.' So according to the command of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers. Thus there fell 10 portions to Manasseh besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which is beyond the Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh received an inheritance among the sons, and the land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the sons of Manasseh." So here we're looking at Gilead and Bashan are there in the land on the east side of the Jordan. And one of the men or the sons of Manish, he only had daughters, and so he gave an allotment then to their father's inheritance. And here we see that we just read it was given to them. And in verses 7 through 13, and I'm not going to read all of this, I'm just going to kind of describe. In these verses, we see that Manasseh's land was on the west of the Jordan River. And all of these verses, 12 through 13, tells us that Manasseh also didn't drive out all the Canaanites living in the land. So we know by them not driving them all out that they're leaving some of the Canaanites there. And this may cause problems further on. And we do see that as we study throughout the Word of God, because they're not fulfilling. God told them to annihilate and to wipe out all those that were in the land, but they wasn't always doing this. And in Judges, as a cross-reference, Judges 3, chapter 3, 1 through 11, in these verses we see that the Lord left some of the nations of the Canaanites. He left them there for a purpose, and that purpose was to test Israel, that they might be taught war and to find out if they would obey. So it's really a sad statement that Israel allowed the Canaanites to live among them in the land of promise, because they were not carrying out what God had told them. So he allowed this to happen to test their faith, to test their trust, to test their obedience. And today, in our lives, we have things that happen, and we know through God's Word that these things are going to come before us, and our troubles, our trials, our sufferings come as a test. And that test is the same as it was to those people in the day of Joshua and the day of the Israelites. Today, God puts us through, or allows, he allows these things to happen to test us, to test our faith, to test our trust, to see if we're true to what we say. You know, it's easy to say that you trust, but when you're put to the test, it shows whether you truly, truly believe what you speak. So this is showing a great test how God is using these people to carry out his great plan and to test them and to bring them through the fire, so to speak, just as he does today, if we are true to our faith for him. Now, for those that are online that don't have the workbooks, there's some cross-references, and I'm going to not read all of these verses, but I'm going to explain. Looking, if you want to write these down, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Now, these verses, we see that God, through Moses, cautioned Israel that they were not to be afraid when they saw horses and chariots, because that he was with them, and he was the one who brought them out of Egypt. So he is telling them that he's the one who went before them to fight their enemies and save them. So that is what God told the people and promised them as they made their journey toward the promised land. Now, looking at Psalms chapter 20, verse 7. And Psalms 20 says, boasting in his name makes one stronger, than those who boast in horses and chariots. So what God is saying to us, or what the scripture, God's word is saying, that it's much better to be able to boast in the word of God than it is, or to have trust in God. That's what it means, to have trust in God rather than to have trust in horses and chairs. These weapons that we use won't compare to the weapon of God. That's exactly what it's saying. And then in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 28 through 30, tells us the horse is for battle, but the victory of the battle belongs to the Lord. So God provides our means of weapon, our means to fight our battles with, but we know that the battle belongs to God. It's in His hands. It's only through Him that we can win. No matter what kind of weapon that we have, that weapon is of no significance, of no good, if we don't have the Lord Jesus fighting our battles for us. And then looking at Psalm 60, verse 11 through 12, we see that God Himself treads down our adversaries for us. He is the one that protects us from those that fight against us, our adversaries, Satan himself and his demons. God is the one. So we must have the Lord Jesus living in our heart. We must have salvation. We must have the Holy Spirit to be able to fight any battle that we face. And then Psalms 105, verse 5, tells us to remember His wonders and judgments. So no matter what we go through in life, just like these people, the stories, what we read in God's Word, are true stories. They're true people. They're God's people. They are those that lived before us. They are our forefathers. And it was all written down in the Word of God as examples for us to follow, that we might know what our forefathers did, how that they failed without God. They failed without the Lord God to lead them. And as you look through the Word, you see that time after time, they always won the battle as long as they were obedient to God. But again, we see when they began to worship other gods, they began to fall away from the Lord, then they lost their battles, and there was judgment to come. And today, as we live our lives today, we're living in a different generation, but things happen just as they did in the generations past. There's times of trials. There's times of testing. There are times that we have our enemies. We're seeing that happen in America today. We're seeing the things that the people, we as believers, have fell away from following the Lord, and we have taken on other gods, the things of the world, anything that we place before the Lord Jesus as our Lord, as we look at other things in life, instead of looking at the Lord, that is an idol. We are worshiping something beside Him. And when this happens, just as it did in the days of our ancestors and our prophets, their judgment came. You know, there was famine in the land. There were pestilence in the land. There were battles. We go back and see how that they were captured by the Babylonians, and they were taken captivity. We look at our own time, and we see how that America had to go to war and fight against the enemy, and how that as long as we look to the Lord, He won our battles. He brought us through. Now we're living in a time that we fell away from the Lord. And if we don't turn back to Him now, then His judgment is going to have to fall upon us. And we're going to have to face some battles. And He won't be with us unless we turn back to Him. And have you noticed how faithful God is? We're unfaithful, but He's faithful. Because every time that the people turned back to God and repented of their sin, He forgave them, and He then won their battles for them, and He blessed them. So today, we have to learn from these messages that are written in the Holy Word of God by the Holy Spirit to teach us. We have to learn from these things. And to be obedient to God, we have to humble ourselves and repent just as they had to repent. If we expect God to win our battles for us, if we expect Him to bless this nation, but as long as we turn away, then we can't expect His blessings. So I pray that as we close out of this portion of the book of Joshua, and we'll go forward into the next lesson, that we will remember of what we're studying. We're studying about God, how almighty, how great He is, how loving He is, how kind He is, how that He is one we can trust and put our faith in. But we also have to remember that God is a God that can bring judgment upon us if we're disobedient. And He does, and we see that. So I pray as we study that I and each of us will see the lesson that He is teaching us. And we will close our study today with prayer. Heavenly Father, do open our eyes and our hearts that we will have understanding of Your truths, that we may know what You're speaking to us, Father, because we know that through Your Word that we receive salvation. We cannot understand and realize what sinful beings that we are until we read Your Word, till we hear Your Word. And Father, we cannot receive salvation until we heed Your Word, until we believe Your Word. By grace that we are saved through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But we have to have the faith to believe. And I pray, Father, that through the studies that we do in our precept Bible study from Your Word, Father, Your truths, that if there's anyone, Father, that has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that You will speak, Father, to their heart. Give them understanding, give them wisdom and knowledge, and open their eyes, Father, that they may see themselves as a sinner and that they need a Savior. And Father, for all of those that believe upon the name of Jesus, Father, revive us. Restore us, Father, to our first love, Father, that we may be renewed in our spirit, that we may follow You, Father, and do Your will, and be obedient, Father, that we may bring You honor and glory. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank You again for Your faithfulness in studying the Word, and I look forward to next week as we continue our study in the book of Joshua. And we're going to be studying here in lesson 6, chapters 18 through 21. And the title of this is Not One of the Lord's Good Promises Failed. And that's what we're going to be doing, is learning more of God's precious promises. God bless you. Goodbye.